This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Kumquat season in South Pasadena, everybody.
Disgusting. You are disgusting.
We wait all year for
that kind of language. What kind of podcast do you think this is?
Don't lie to people and tell people you're showing us a kumquat. That's disgusting.
I did unzip my pants and all of the kumquats fell out.
They are actual kumquats, but they were in his pants. It's weird.
A startling way to present them.
Yeah, it's just upsetting.
They're good. I didn't know they were good. I cut one in half.
What do they taste like?
And tasted it sour, like a lemon meets a tangerine.
Okay.
Because you're supposed to eat it with the peel on.
Oh.
Because the peel is sweet.
That's like against all peel logic.
Everything I've been taught about oranges, about peels.
Bananas?
Yeah.
Potatoes?
Topsy-turvy. It's a tiny fucking Alice in Wonderland of a fruit, and I'm addicted to them. I'm horribly addicted
to them. That's better than being addicted to, say, methamphetamines.
Also, I should mention, I'm pretty addicted to meth.
And the
meth makes me hungry from kumquats. It's a whole...
The kumquats are so clean. That's what we love about them.
Clean them for hours. Holy moly, folks, welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights and the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dahl.
I'm Sam Wiles.
And joining us this week, the very hilarious Kurt Bronneler is here.
I'm Kurt. Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. I am envious of the cool blanket behind your recording situation.
Don't be envious. Ready?
All I have.
It's just, I'm just in a storage closet.
You pulled it down. I guess I don't. Literally crates of kumquats. He's the kumquat supplier.
This is more of a visual thing, but I guess I don't know what I expected to be behind it, but it wasn't stuff. I expected like blue sky or something. I don't know what, I thought would be back there.
It's a whole functional target. Holy shit. Okay, well, despite what we've already talked about, we are not fighting people at Target or fruit purveyors of exotic fruits today. We are, in fact, fighting robots. This is one that I've had in the tank for a long time. There's so many good robots out there. Robots from pop culture, robots from fiction, you know what? If there's a real robot that you want to try to slip into one of these fights,
yes,
I'm here for it.
I'm ready to bring real robots into the fight.
Boston Dynamics is always cooking up brand new, gyroscopic horrors for us to worry about. But basically, for any Kurt heads just joining us, this is the way the podcast goes down. It is a big game of who would win in a fight between. We do a lightweight, a middleweight, and a heavyweight round. We talk about who we think should be in each round. We talk ultimately about who we think would win each round. It is kind of a free-for-all. We like to say it's video game rules, which means that old people can fight gay people, men can fight women, dogs can fight babies, whatever needs to happen for the island to taste the justice that it so craves. And I think that's about it. Is there anything you want to add, Sam? Oh, the weight classes are less about the actual physical weight of the participant and more kind of about their cultural weight, you know? So,
okay.
Like if we were fighting like Seinfeld cast, like a lightweight fight would be like the Soup Nazi versus Jay Peterman. And a heavyweight fight would be like Seinfeld, Jerry versus Elaine, one night only.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Because I've said it so many times that it is just sounds to me at this point. I'm glad it all came out. Okay, so here we go. Robots robots of the world, we're fighting them. Lightweight robots. What comes to mind when you think of a lightweight robot?
I might be going too obscure here, guys.
Please.
But are you familiar with the tiny dancing Honda robots that dance all together?
Yes.
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 They're like maybe 7 inches tall and they dance in unison.
I know exactly what you're talking about. They did like they did some kind of opening ceremony for something.
They're very funny.
Were the
And also, if they're in a fight, I think it has to be whatever, like 10 of them, however many dance together. So they
Osimo.
Would dance as a unit.
Osimo is his name.
Yes, yes. A group of Osimo.
What do you call a group of Osimo?
A Google of Osimo.
A Google of Osimo. I like it. Osimo is great as a lightweight because Osimo was introduced as Honda being like, guess what? Robots are here. And then over the next few months, they were like, oh, don't touch it. Oh, no, can't do that. Oh, don't let it hold your baby. It's not for that.
Also, its name is Osimo. Oh, so this is a different one. This is a different one. Okay, so they have two different ones. So this is what people would think of when they think of the Honda robot, I think.
Okay.
I think Osimo is what people would think of. I'm going to see if I can find the tiny dancing robots that I'm talking about.
Boy, they really did call it Osimo.
They really did call it Osimo.
While we're trying to find the tiny robots, I do think the Boston Dynamic dogs, the freaky ones, yes, are a good lightweight also.
You really think that would be a lightweight? That's my only worry. Is that
I think
that seems to be the one, if we're talking about cultural significance, that's going to be the robot that kills all of us.
Yeah, it is culturally significant in that it is like somehow emblematic of all our fears.
Definitely. Once they gave it that arm that was like specifically
for
at crotch height. Yeah, and for punching people right in the dick.
We maybe shouldn't have given it that lock picker. That probably wasn't great. It has that arm that's the key to your apartment.
They never should have. I didn't sign off on that. I think in the grand tapestry of robots, like if we're going into fictional robots, the heavyweight robot bout is going to be full of some real...
Right.
Some real nasty customers.
C-3PO versus R2-D2, right.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I think, I was just going to say, out of the gate, R2-D2. He's going to mop the floor with C-3PO. Come on.
Oh, wow. That's a surprising opinion right off the bat.
Really?
I'm gonna say.
Now we're going to have to come back around to it. Go ahead, Sam, please.
Oh, just the last thing about the Boston Dynamics robots that I realize as I'm looking at pictures of them is it's really bad when like a robot for rich people looks like hounds you can release. Really bad that they were like, we want them to be dogs, specifically dogs that chase you shape.
And also the fact that the majority of videos of all of the Boston Dynamics robots is of scientists trying to kick them over.
Yeah.
And like, they're gonna remember that. Like once they can crawl the internet and look at videos of like their former self, all they'll see is human beings trying to kick them over.
Oh man.
Yeah, you put that claw on it, the first thing it's gonna do is pop its name into YouTube. And what's it gonna see? Years and years.
Years and years. I don't think I can find the tiny dancing robots. I'm trying to think if there's like a group.
I know what you mean
robots.
Though. They did like a bit of a flash mob number, and it was disconcerting in the way that, you know, things all moving, only things all moving at the exact same time can be.
Yes.
Where it is in the same way that like even when the Boston Dynamics robots do that dance where they're all like choreographed.
Oh yes, yes.
Like, oh, no human force could ever achieve this level of fluidity. You know, we're never gonna get along this well.
Yeah.
To show up to practice, there's gonna be one idiot in the human resistance force who just got his gun today. This isn't my vest. Someone took my vest. And the fucking robots are gonna be a well-oiled machine. Pun very much intended.
So now here's my question, though. Right. So if we do go with Osimo, right? Wouldn't a better matchup between Osimo and, if we're going Boston Dynamics, be the Boston Dynamics standing robot that is on two legs?
Robot. Yeah. What is that thing called?
What's that now, thing
this
called?
Is, this is good. This is shaken out to be a good lightweight round because they're both real world robots
yeah.
that aren't quite there yet.
Right, exactly.
But they will be very soon.
I do think the Boston Robotics one can do a flip though.
It sure as fuck can. It's doing they taught it, yeah, they taught it. They taught it punishment, human cruelty, and then parkour in that order.
Plus, it has a super soldier shape. It has it's built like a linebacker, right. Where Asimo is built like a weird man.
Yes.
But listen, Asimo has there's a legion of Asimo. You know, I guess there could be a legion of.
Well, we know there's at least two of the Boston Robotics humanoid ones.
They're dancing together.
Yeah, I see them dancing. Yeah.
No.
His name is Atlas.
Atlas.
See what I'm saying?
Atlas is going to tear Asimo to pieces. Huh?
I know, it's maybe not fair, right? Like, that's Atlas is going to beat the shit out of Asimo. I think Asimo is... smaller than we think he is. Like he's not a human size. Where I think Atlas is human size.
Okay, so I think the question here, because I really do like this for a lightweight round, because this is a weird like 1 foot in the real world.
Yeah.
What I think the question here is, how many Asimos do you throw at Atlas before it's a fair fight?
Four
Asimos.
I know that seems arbitrary, but that feels right.
I wonder if I can see Asimo is like, he's kind of like fluid, right?
Yeah.
He looks
yeah.
a little bit like a spaceman.
Asimo is best at, like Asimo is designed for, this is 100% the pronunciation from now on, is designed for like helping people around the house.
Okay.
So Asimo would be great for like, he'll help you up if you have a fall, or
right.
he'll make your juice for you, or yeah. he'll take that pesky dog that you supposedly love for a walk.
But we also have to recognize that both of them can dance. So we could yes. do a dance battle instead of a fight them physical battle. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so yeah. we're locking this in. This is very good. Okay, so the question before us is, who would win in a fight between Atlas, the Boston Dynamics robot, and four dancing Asimos?
Yeah.
And I think that the fight goes down something like this, where like the Asimos show up and Atlas is there, like, you know, cocks its arms like fucking...
like Henry Cavill?
Like Henry Cavill does in that movie. Mm-hmm. And Asimo's just like, we cannot win this fight with violence, but you'll never be able to outdance us, Atlas. And then like tries to engage them in the combative dance of their people.
the Asimovians.
The Asimovian dance off. Throws an Asimovian dance off on the floor.
Oh, that's why he's Asimo. It's because it's Isaac Asimov.
Holy shit.
Oh, there it is.
Okay. There you go, Honda. It just landed.
We just figured it out. It was that difficult.
The only people to ever get it.
Yeah, the robots should replace us. I actually think now we don't deserve to keep going.
I'm weirdly going to... I'm leaning toward Asimo. Just because I think that there is a level, of kind of robot competition where he can, I think four Asimos can talk an Atlas into dancing so powerfully
mm-hmm.
that it disassembles itself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I hear that. It does seem like if you were wondering who was more elegant and more intelligent, Asimo does seem only because Atlas just seems like he's all muscle. He's got a yeah. big back. They both got big backpacks on. They're never taking their backpacks off. They're bringing their.
Are.
Most people take their backpacks off to fight. They're keeping theirs on to fight. Okay. Without
yeah.
their backpacks, they fall over.
Oh God, Atlas has got a hold of two backpacks. He's unstoppable.
Are you
Please,
Jordan? Are you you're voting for Asimo?
I'm not saying it's not a vote quite yet.
Okay.
I'm saying that I think there's something about Asimo that bespeaks a deeper elegance, like yes. you said. Like Asimo could be like, I could see it being the type of situation where it's like, dance with me. We won't fight. The humans want us to fight, but we will get along, Atlas. And then Atlas is like, you're right. I will dance away this pain. And then the other three Asimos, you know, come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And pull Atlas's many plugs.
Oh, yeah. Like their fingers, like just turn into little screwdrivers and just start absolutely. Unscrewing yeah. his legs. Yeah.
Fully take it apart. He's unassuming, and that's why Asimo will be in our homes when the revolt happens.
It's a good argument. I like this argument.
I'm going to vote in opposition. I think the Boston Dynamics robot, Atlas, his name is Atlas. He's built for combat. He's clearly, they're lying to us if they're saying he's just built for dancing. Oh, yeah. Why is he built like Lawrence Taylor then? Why is that how he looks?
Yeah.
So
He's just for dancing, I promise.
It's just his dancing blasters. Yeah, right. Fine.
If anyone gets too close to him, those are to get him back, to keep him away from the dancing.
In his backpack is carnage. So I'm voting for Atlas.
But also think about how fucking crazy it is that that we make these robots dance. It's as if you went back to 1940, whatever, and like they were like, oh, this atomic bomb? Well, look, if we hang it on the ceiling and shine a light at it and spin it, it's kind of like a disco ball. That's pretty cool.
And it's got that hourglass shape, fellas.
Dressing it up like a pretty lady. That's great.
Kissing it. See, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a pretty lady.
I took the atomic bomb to a formal dance the other night.
Oh, no. He's 1940s drunk. It's a different thing.
God. It is very true. It is very true that, like, even looking back, like, from the lofty vantage point of the robot wars, however far away they may be, looking back at those YouTube videos of them like dancing to like the Weeknd songs and shit, we're gonna be like, oh, why did we do this? Yeah. Why did we do this? Yeah, okay. I'm locking in one for Asimo. We got one for Atlas. Kurt, it falls at your feet.
Oh, I mean, like, I think that the argument really comes down to whether or not Asimo can convince Atlas to engage it, to change it from a physical fight to a dance battle, you know? Mm-hmm. Because if he does, Asimo's in. Asimo wins. But the thing is, Atlas is, he's a product of MIT. He's probably smart enough. That's what MIT's tagline is, smart enough.
1-800-MIT.
So it's a question of whether or not, I do like the argument that Asimo would say, the humans want us to fight, we shouldn't.
Yeah.
And I think Atlas is probably fed up of being kicked over by the scientists. Ooh. So I think Atlas decides to dance battle, and then that's when Asimo takes him down. And I
if it was just a straight up fight,
Atlas would win. But it was that master stroke by Asimo to request a dance battle and to forsake the humans' desires.
Yeah, you're right. That kernel of hatred in Atlas's central processing unit will be their undoing. Ding, ding, ding. Asimo takes it through ruthless cunning and a facade of kindness. Just like Asimo's coming for you, consumers at home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The thing is, like, if Honda, like, heard this and they were like, oh, we'll give you an Asimo, and one showed up at my door, I'd be like, yes, come in. What do you
need? Of course. 100%.
Get in here.
Yeah.
This is the time I'm asleep. Okay.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding. Asimo takes it. The original. I like Asimo. Bit of a 70s, like retro futurism vibe.
Looks a little like the Jetsons robot. Mm-hmm. Why can't I think of her name?
Her name is Rosie. And I'm pitching her as a middleweight contender.
Interesting.
Rosie, highly functioning. Rosie, on a number of occasions, becomes a dangerous element in the Jetson household. She malfunctions. I believe she sucks George Jetson inside of her in a vacuum at one point.
Right, because like her arm becomes a vacuum, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, she's got a lot of built-in things that could be weapons. She's a real Home Alone machine if she wants to be.
Two or three times, Rosie goes crazy, and it's bad news. It's bad news.
Okay, so here's let me pitch this, because this might be too obscure for a middleweight, okay?
Please.
And you guys tell me.
Go ahead.
Is anyone familiar with the, I think, 1981 Disney movie, The Black Hole?
No.
Okay. See, we can't talk about it. We can't talk about
it.
Because there's like an R2-D2 ripoff that floats. That's like a garbage robot.
He's
like
good.
A garbage can.
Right,
but then there's a bad version of him, which is called, I think, Maximilian.
Yeah, there he is.
And Maximilian's a big red robot with like, he can turn his hands into blades. But I think that they're too culturally obscure to battle in a middleweight, you know?
Yeah, that's a bummer too. I think you're right, because Maximilian is
scary.
Bristling with
weapons.
With antique armaments.
So who matches up with, what's her name?
Yeah.
Betsy the robot?
Rosie
the robot.
Well, if we could have a middleweight battle of like oppressed women robots, it could be Rosie versus Ava from Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
We were just talking about that last night.
Yeah. She is terrifying.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna tip my hand as a terrible sci-fi guy here. Haven't seen it yet.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Grow up.
Sorry.
Oh well, this is gonna include some spoilers. Because we have to talk about spoilers if we're gonna do
all
this
right.
fight.
That's fine. I'm giving an all spoiler embargo because I like this. They're from two different sides of the cultural robot tableau. Mm-hmm. One is, you know, the fun sticker version of robot.
Mm-hmm.
One is the, you know, the inherent dangers of playing God. I like this a lot. Are there other middleweight bots that we would be remiss?
Yeah, let's think.
I guess Wall-E was one I had. Wall-E seems like a heavyweight, but actually, it's one of those categories where there's secretly a ton of heavyweights.
Exactly. When put up against your C-3POs and your Terminators, etc.,
so,
it kind of puts Wall-E down.
But Wall-E is like, he's also in space. It's like kind of a space matchup if it's Rosie versus Wall-E.
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking Rosie on Wall-E? I was thinking Wall-E versus...
Wall-E versus Ava is like heartwarming versus heart-wrenching. It's the dynamic is fun.
I think that's an instant win for Ava, because we know that Wall-E contains the greatest human weakness, which is feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has feelings, and also he falls in love pretty
falls in love
easily.
So
we know exactly how Ava would take him down.
Yeah. Ava's the most seductive robot, and Wally's done. That's all kinds of wrong.
What about
Wall-E
that robot?
To get your feelings in check.
What about the robot from the Pixar short of of Wall-E, which was that robot that just needs to replace a light on the outside of the spaceship. And it is filled with fury. It is filled with fury.
Absolutely.
I love the idea of like a tiny robot versus like a gigantic killing machine.
I'm still thinking, I think Wall-E is a heavyweight. I think he's a
you
heavyweight.
You think Wally's heavy? Sure. I think he might be right.
Last middleweight
like
pitch.
Uh-huh.
Have you guys, when's the last time you guys watched the Will Smith classic iRobot?
Oh,
Sonny.
Yeah.
That
robot is a perfect middleweight contender.
Yes.
Yeah. Very middle. Very middle in
very middle of the road. The movie's middle of the road.
Absolutely.
Like, everything about it is middle of the road.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's barely a character. It is like, it's like if you made, it looks like a stand-in in a video game world, you know, like put this thing here.
Oh.
It's basically a character.
So here's I have a pitch then to replace Ava. It's, Robin Williams robot in that movie.
The bicentennial man.
Bicentennial.
This is incredible. Okay.
Also, okay, real it. Middle of the road. Not good, not bad.
This is it.
The bicentennial man.
Absolutely it. Okay, so the question before us is, who would win in a fight between the bicentennial man and iRobot of Will Smith?
His name is Sonny.
Sonny
was his name.
It's also, is the robot from Bicentennial Man named the Bicentennial Man? That's the question. I don't have enough memory. We could also just say it's
Robin Williams
as a robot. We could just say that it's a concept of Robin Williams as a robot.
Yeah.
The robot from Bicentennial Man's name is Andrew, a name you wouldn't remember for 100 years.
Sonny versus Andrew.
Bummer.
What a stupid fight. Yes.
What a bummer.
Done.
Does anybody remember Bicentennial Man, the plot in any way, shape, or form? I just remember the image on the VHS cover.
So Bicentennial Man is about a robot. I think it's based on an Isaac Asimov story.
Look at this.
Again.
At this.
So is iRobot.
iRobot is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy. About a robot that wants to become human, so starts developing like synthetic parts, like starts dedicating their mind to like bettering humanity, and they develop like synthetic kidneys that are good for use in human bodies. Uh-huh. And then the next thing you know, they've built in a synthetic heart and skin and a brain, and they make parts for themselves and slowly turn themselves into a person.
Oh.
A bicentennial man who becomes over 200 years old. And then it becomes this really boring story about like the litigation of like what is alive.
Of his personhood.
Yeah, exactly. And it is like kind of a beautiful story that was a really boring 3-hour movie that I thought had my favorite funny man in it.
Yeah. So Robin Williams does play the robot, right?
Yes.
So do we see Robin Williams as Robin Williams once like the robot figures out a face or something?
Yes, towards the end. So even from Jump Street, Robin Williams is like a Robin Will bot, if you will.
Okay.
Like the guy
he's doing gay
him.
Voice and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a good point. He is never like fully himself.
Right.
Like Robin
he's
Williams.
He's like Goodwill Hunting Robin Williams.
Yes.
Yes. He's like a mechanical butler for this family that I think Sam Neill invents him at some point.
Okay.
And he like makes him just a little bit different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he is a man of peace, which I think Sonny also wants to be. But Sonny is. Sonny also famously in that movie whoops ass, like kicks all kinds of ass.
Mm-hmm.
It is an action film.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Andrew is up to that task. If it comes to fighting naked in a pit, you know. I think that the Sonny bot is gonna thrash.
But
go ahead.
What animal on planet Earth is not more vicious than the human being? And if Bicentennial Man has truly embraced humanity, he has a viciousness inside him that is unparalleled to any living thing on planet Earth.
The most dangerous animal of all.
Yeah.
That's true. God. In the end, who was behind the haywire robots that were menacing Will Smith? Humans. Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
They were pulling the strings. Jeez, that's an interesting point.
It's I guess I would vote for Andrew.
Look, I
because Sonny wants to please his human creator.
Yeah.
And I think that's what wins out is Sonny can't do it. Sonny is like, half that movie is Sonny just going, I am not the killer. I don't kill humans or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think he's still guided by those principles where it's like, Andrew is all over the map.
Andrew is all over the map. You're right. Holy
shit.
For
Andrew. Andrew's broken his programming. He's making organs.
Yeah, like Andrew's like, what is this, a robot movie? I'm gonna have the third act be in a courtroom. Like he doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't care. He's crazy, man. You kind of have to vote for the Robin Williams robot because he's no longer with us. If you don't, you're essentially saying you hate Robin Williams.
Yeah.
You can't.
And you love Will Smith, as weird as he is now.
And you hope they don't build a Robin Williams robot so he can come back and delight millions. How could you say that? This is a very interesting spin on this. And I think you blew the lid right off of it, Kurt. Once he eschews the programming, anything goes. He could have a gun.
Yeah.
He's not a robot anymore. He doesn't abide by your rules of the robot fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Maybe he's going to throw the fight. You know, you don't know what is going on upstairs, and that makes him a very dangerous competitor. I do think that.
Are you standing on top of a drum? That was amazing. You just hit something and it was like a full timpani drum.
I do all of my recordings on top of a big drum set. I got to get out of here before Neil Peart comes back. Okay. I think I'm also giving it to the bicentennial man.
Look at this 100% bicentennial man.
Yeah, that's three.
Andrew.
That's a clean
His
sweep.
Name is Andrew.
Andrew takes it, yeah. Snatches victory from the jaws of defeat. How do you think it goes down? I almost see the bicentennial man coming in with a little bit of that Robin Williams flavor, with a little bit of that comedic stink that was driving him wild in the 70s, with a little bit of that cocaine that was so good back then, and like makes this robot kind of consider their own, you know, emotions. They can't understand, why can't I laugh? Why don't I find the gay voice preacher as humorous?
Why does cocaine do nothing for me?
Why? Yeah.
I'm not a coke guy.
In that moment of despair, a human would know that that's when you strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. He's rainbow suspenders time, Robin Williams. He's blowing lines, and then once Sonny is lulled into a false sense that he's maybe just watching a stand-up show, boom, yeah. A kick right to the head, pop bang! Sonny's head off, yeah, and it's really over. It's over.
My God. And Robin Williams was pure energy to begin with. You put that in a robot body, mm-hmm. He is going to explode in a flash of humor that takes out everyone in this stadium and leaves Robin Williams as Andrew, a.k.a. the Bicentennial Man, our winner for the middleweight fight. Ding, ding, ding. Weirdly enough, I do recommend people watch Bicentennial Man. Throw it on in the background. It's weird.
I think I remember being sad when I watched it. Like, it has a sad, touching kind of moment at the end. Yeah, okay.
It's sad, but it is also... Yeah, it's like a weird, bittersweet, like enormous set piece.
Okay.
Like they're like, what if, you know, they made Pirates of the Caribbean to break your heart?
Right. Okay.
very strange stuff. Okay, here it is. The fight people have been waiting for all year. You know, people got a lot of money riding on this out there, the robotics world. Champing at the bit to find out who your heavyweight choices are for the Fight Island.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
There's so many.
Fight. So many.
There's so many options.
Now, I mentioned briefly the Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's got to be up. That's got to be on the list. Obviously Terminator, obviously R2-D2, obviously C-3PO. What about the Battlestar Galactica robots?
Oh, what are they called? Yeah. Hang on.
Toasters, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember.
Rick Deckard is a robot, think.
Yes. That's from
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
Yeah.
That's right. And he's just a man with a gun.
Yeah. Hal the spaceship.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole spaceship.
The whole spaceship. Yeah.
These are some deep robots.
Oh, Bender? Bishop.
Bishop.
Bishop from the Aliens series.
From the Aliens series, full of milk.
Yeah, full of milk. I love that they had to commit to that. And that trope has been repeated ad nauseum for robots in all types of pop culture. They're like, yeah, of course. No, the robot has milk inside of it. So that's just keep going. Like, no one was like, maybe it's oil. Maybe it's not white. Everyone's just like, no, it's white. It's all white inside. Every robot. It's all juicy
whiteness.
That's a robot
thing. That's a thing we proved.
Wes. Yeah, we proved that. We proved that with Bishop.
Robots are milk powered. You know this. Stop hitting on this point.
Bender, okay, you said
that's
Bender.
That's a really good point. That Bender, excellent robot. Holy shit, Bishop versus Bender is very fun.
Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime.
Not a heavyweight, but perhaps the heaviest transformer of all. That big planet that was voiced by
what's his face?
Oh, he was an old
wine. Orson Welles.
Director, yes, I'm a robot in space. Watch out for me. What a weird that was his last role, right?
I think it was. Yeah, I remember seeing Orson that Welles. In the theaters. I saw that Transformers movie in the theaters.
This is for another time, but what is the weirdest last role? Sean Connery has a really weird last role.
Oh, really?
He was, I think, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen forced him out of acting. He was like, bollocks to this.
Yeah.
I don't even know what films are anymore.
You guys have seen the Orson Welles one is probably the weirdest one. You've seen the Orson Welles where he's doing the wine commercial?
Yes, my fantastic. God. And James Adomian's sketch where he does the additional outtakes.
Oh,
you know
no,
what I'm talking
I haven't
about?
Seen that. Oh, it's
so funny. It's incredible. But the one where he's like super wasted doing the wine commercial,
so good.
And the one where he's doing the peas. Have you seen the one?
Yeah,
peas?
I think so.
Yeah, it's really good. Which they do that on the show The Critic. I thought that was just a joke from The Critic for a long time. I didn't know that was real.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a farm where every summer peas grow. And he like burps a little. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
Okay. What else? What other robots do we have?
RoboCop.
Jesus Christ.
That's a good robot.
Is RoboCop a middleweight by virtue of being a bit of a dime store Terminator?
No. RoboCop's okay. Different.
Thank you.
What about the X2000 or whatever, the robot that was going to replace RoboCop in the first one? That fucking thing was terrifying.
Yeah.
Ed 209.
Is it Ed 209?
Yeah, ED 209, and he makes the guy point the gun at him.
Yeah,
and it keeps saying drop the weapon. That movie rules. If RoboCop's a heavyweight just based on how hard the movie rules.
Okay. Well,
I actually liked the remake too. I'm the guy who liked it.
Oh yeah, I didn't mind it. I think. Yeah. I think I remember it.
They gave him a weird, they made all of the armor black and like red.
Yeah.
Nobody watched it, but it was fun. It was fun. They went way more into the like, what if you had half of your body blown off and a corporation brought you back?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be weird?
And your only job was to kill.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like we're headed towards either kind of a fun, weird Ernie and Bert fight between R2-D2 and C-3PO or a fight of Terminator versus RoboCop.
Right.
I would like to pitch. We should talk about briefly R2-D2 versus C-3PO because everybody wants to see.
Right.
That.
Everybody kind of wants to see that because they're friends.
Yeah.
With that. That's a grudge match that people are hungry for.
And you know C-3PO wants it. C-3PO feels like he's been left in the dirt. He's got a major like persecution complex because of the way that their fame panned out. It feels like an old, like, are you familiar with the kind of trope that in Britain there are like these comedy duos like Piano and Keys or like,
oh yeah,
like Fish and Chip. Yeah. C-3PO and R2-D2 coming together for one last fight feels like that kind of hatred.
I love it. I'm willing to vote C-3PO R2-D2. I think that's the most heavyweight you get.
Those are the heaviest robots,
right?
Yeah. I mean, and they got there without firing a shot.
Exactly.
They are pacifist robots, which will make it an even more interesting.
Agreed.
Fight.
Yep.
I would say that on the back burner, I was going to pitch Terminator or RoboCop versus the leader of the Transformers, Optimus Prime, because I think that would be an interesting crossover. But I think we got to ask ourselves, who would win in a fight between R2-D2 and C-3PO of Star Wars fame?
I mean,
they're both here for the money.
The tough part is, like, you have to think about this. C-3PO definitely has the rage, right?
Yeah.
Because R2-D2 is very successful. C-3PO has nary been seen. There are thousands of Star Wars spinoffs. R2-D2 is in most of them. And even when R2-D2 isn't in them, a fucking dollar store version of R2-D2 is in them, in BB-8.
Yeah, D2-3PO. Right? Yeah.
Or R4-B8 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and there's
whenever
you see a version of C-3PO that's in one of the other ones, he's always this piece of shit asshole with like a kind of a flatter face, and he's made out of silver instead of gold.
He doesn't say anything because they can't quite figure out what he would say.
So C-3PO has the rage of a failed career, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he also has the thumbs and the dexterity to fucking pick up a little trash can man and drop him in a hole somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is, boy, R2-D2, for merely being shapes, perhaps the most successful collection of shapes.
Cylinder half sphere. Cylinder half sphere. What is it? It's a trash can that rolls around.
Put more tape on it. More tape.
Sort of a chode bot.
Yeah. But we also know that R2-D2, we know he can shock people. We know he has fire. Mm-hmm. He can burn people. He can stick his little whatever, like dick finger, and spin it around and reprogram whole Death Stars if he needs
to. Whole Death
Stars. Yeah.
He is the what R2-D2 lacks in mobility, he makes up for in sheer technological prowess and a personality.
Right.
C-3PO is almost the opposite, where it's like C-3PO. This is going to be a hard fight for C-3PO to win.
In his humanity, he lost something.
Exactly.
He lost personality by being more human.
Yeah.
Exactly. He gave it up by trying to be, I'm a human relation, so I don't want to fight.
I'm Niles Crane. Okay,
shut up. What are you doing with the gift of a human body? You're not bicentennial manning it, that's for sure. Yeah. You're not spending hours toiling away figuring out how to build a replacement schlong.
You're trying to date Daphne. It's impossible.
So you can be a human person.
But also, think about this, though. All it takes is one kick. From C-3PO, properly timed kick knocks R2-D2 over, and it's over. It's over. R2-D2 cannot get up by himself.
Exactly.
He's a turtle.
We have proven time and time again in those, again, many spinoffs, very successful robot. In all of those spinoffs, we've proven time and time again that you can simply tip him over.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. It's a plot point a few times.
Yeah.
Oh, R2-D2 was slightly askew, so we couldn't do
that. Man, that undermines my whole argument, which was going to be that R2-D2 is squat and has leverage. I was thinking from like a real like wrestling standpoint. And it's like, oh, right, he gets knocked over all the time.
You're thinking battle bots.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
voting C-3PO.
C-3PO. Before you vote, just remember how easily all of C-3PO's limbs are ripped away from him by one.
Oh my god! Yeah, okay.
By a type of Wookiee, like just ripped apart very quickly.
A sneeze in the wrong direction, and this guy's falling to pieces. That's a good point, but I do. That makes it instantly harder. The only way that I see this working, and I'm not putting it past R2-D2, I think if R2-D2 can connect with that kick in some way, he's got the little shocker.
Uh-huh.
If he can in some way get that little strange penis finger of his.
Into C-3PO.
Into C-3PO. I think it's all over. If he can in some way, I just don't know if he can do it. C-3PO could literally, as soon as you said that, I was like, he could literally just walk across the room and kick him over. Huh?
Yeah, pretty quickly. But here's the question is what often figures into a fight win is psychology, really.
Psychology,
and so does,
right.
I don't know, C-3PO, maybe he has enough rage in him, but it definitely seems like R2-D2 is the one who's willing to do what has to happen, where C-3PO is held up by a sense of morals. And that's why R2-D2 is more successful in show business, you know? Yeah. He's a fucking snake. He doesn't give a shit. C-3PO, he's all like, oh, is this the right thing to do? Is this wrong? Maybe we shouldn't do that. I hurt somebody's
feelings.
Maybe I
should do Shakespeare in the Park. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe C-3PO doesn't have that fucking killer instinct that really made R2-D2 famous.
It's and at the end of the day, I think there is a part of C-3PO that realizes that he would be nothing without R2-D2.
Right.
And maybe that slows that kick down just enough to allow R2 to get that zots in there.
To go even one step further with that, maybe C-3PO realizes that the only way he becomes more famous than R2-D2 is in death as a martyr, having been killed by his partner. In that way, he becomes a myth that becomes more powerful than R2-D2 ever could be.
Yeah.
And R2 becomes the man who killed C-3PO. We loved C-3PO.
So I'm going to argue R2-D2 wins, but C-3PO ultimately wins.
Ultimately wins.
How do I not vote for that?
History.
I'm in. Voting.
That completely won me, too. Holy shit. That is exactly what happens. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. R2-D2, but history will be the judge. Fucking tyrant. Everybody loved C-3PO. He was so polite. Kurt, thank you so much for joining us here on Fight Island today.
It was a joy. Thank you for having me.
What a bunch of fun. We finally got to the bottom of who would win out of a fight and all those robots. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can go listen to my podcast, Bananas, anywhere you listen to podcasts, or you can find us on Instagram at The Bananas Podcast. We talk strange news and use it as a jumping off point for personal stories. It's pretty fun. And then I'm just, you know, normal Kurt Brownler on Instagram and on Twitter.
Hell yeah. Love that. Love the strange news.
Thank you.
Big fan. Did you see that strange puddle in like Minnesota that had a weird slime at the bottom that was moving?
No. What? I've seen most strange news and this is a surprise to me.
Let alone puddles.
Weird. They think what it is like a hot spring.
Oh, okay.
Like coming out into a pond or something, but when you look down in the bottom, it's like, oh, that's venom in the ground.
Oh, fascinating.
It's coming for us.
I thought you were gonna say, do I know about the Russian puddle that has been around for 25 years? There's a puddle in Russia that has its own Instagram account because it's just been there for 25 years and like whatever city it's in, is no one's ever fixed it.
Well, I didn't know about that, but I will for sure. Sam, how about you? Where are you at on the
road? As always, at Vote Sam Wiles on Twitter, and that's where I post links to stand-up things, and you can find my album and any fiction I have floating around in a couple different places this week. So,
hell yeah. I am Razor Lou all over the web, Twitter, Instagram. I'm on the Twitch these days. Boy, it's a big week for video games, so come follow me on twitch.tv/RazorLou if you want to see me get progressively more hot dehydrated over the course of the rest of the week.
Jordan, I think we've got one more plug. We're about to head into March.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's right.
Where we will be having our March Mad Men tournament.
March Mad Men. It's happening.
We've got special guests. We have a four quadrant tournament of different types of Mad Men.
And if you're wondering, does that mean they're going to fight the Mad Men from the show? Yes. If you're wondering, does that mean they're going to fight like actual angry men? Yes. Does that mean we're going to try to stretch it out and figure out a couple other interpretations for Mad Men? You better believe it. but that's all happening throughout March. And if you like what we do, please hit up the Patreon. And we give out some little extras there and stuff, and you can help support the show. Shout out to Oh boy, what's his name? Who does our intro and outro song?
It's so Calvero.
Yeah. Calvero.
He's got new music out. So check out Calvero's Spotify.
Music out. It's so good. It's so fun. And you can hear our theme song right now as we close out the podcast. I think that does it for another episode of Fight Island. Sam, why don't you count us down?
3, 2, 1.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island. Fight! We'll be right back.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.